for WHM Mobile.
Last calling stations, KO4PXB, also mobile.
And sir, where are you off to these moments?
Heading to the QTH in Simpsonville.
Doing the same thing. This is KQ4WHN, and my name is Mark, and I'm headed to the QTH, which is just this side of Greer.
Yep, I just left not far from Wade Hampton. They're on South Buncombe, so I'm definitely heading to Simpsonville.
Sounds like you and I are completing a cross on the map. I'm going east-west, and you're going north-south or something along.
Yep, right now I'm sitting at the Highway 14 and Pelham Road, so that's, of course, the forever light.
I heard you because you're going the wrong way.
Yep, and eventually I'll make it the disaster of Woodruff Road and 14.
How long is your commute each day? That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's about 25 minutes. All depending on traffic. If it's smooth sailing with no traffic, then it's probably about 20 minutes.
Oh, that's not the worst I've heard, but as the upstate continues to grow, I imagine your commute will as well.
Yep, yesterday there was a wreck at 14 and 80, and it took me an hour to get to work because I had to, of course, the fire department turned people down at Dead End Road, so everyone had to turn around and go back and then go straight across and come back onto Buncombe Road. And literally, it took me an hour to get to work because they had the Highway 14 side of two right lanes going into Greer closed off.
Turning everyone down a dirt road was an accident and not deliberately trying to slow everyone's day down. That's that one made me laugh a minute, but I apologize.
Yeah, it's all right because...
You do when you make it into the office each day.
I'm an IT specialist for Honeywell.
Seems like a lot of the hams that I talk to are IT guys, which is where I've been in the last 4 years as well, so.
What kind of support do you do in IT?
I started off back in the 80s selling retail, and then we got involved in the Novell explosion for a lot of school districts and government, and then moved on to more of the corporate stuff, which back in those days was Irma cards and 3Com3 servers, and been a Microsoft guy for the last 20-plus years, and right now have my own company. Microsoft's the biggest customer, and we spend a lot of time teaching people about this enormous investment that they just made and how to use it the best way. So a lot of AI, a lot of security stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely good. Because the smartest thing that I know, one of the schools that I helped out in setting up, running the network cable, is it's not used very often, but they mainly use it at Greenville Tech in their lab. They have the golden image, so that way every night all the computers are wiped back out to the basics, like no student had ever done anything on it, so there's really nothing they can do to it, like I said, because every night the golden image is reloaded on all the computers, and then they use them during the day, and then at night it's just wiped out again.
Hotels and, what am I trying to think of? Hotels and airport kiosks and a lot of other kind of publicly facing machines. Folks do that as a kind of a best practice because most people just need a web browser, and the security consequences and the hijinks that people get into when they get on hands-on in a public machine, it's probably not a bad idea to wipe them out and start over each day.
Yeah, that's definitely what they do. Like I said, the students, they're also locked down, so the students really can't do too much to them. Like I said, every evening it reloads Word and It doesn't actually just reload it. It just sits there and pretty much just re-images it back to like if no one ever done anything to it.
On the build, there's processes, but when they're built and they work well, and it's worth all the effort.
Yep, and that's why they keep the primary image, the primary golden image, secure that way. Just same way in any kind of lab environment, you always do things in a test environment first, and then once you get that set up, then you move it into production. But they'll, you know, if they ever have to edit that, you know, or revert back to the primary image that they first started off with, once they got it running smooth, then they can do that. But it's definitely never messing with the original one that it was being, that it was all developed with.
About that is the rate of change. You have to keep updating that golden image, but again, probably worth the time at the end of the day.
Yep, you're definitely not kidding, because they say if a computer messes up during the day, they sit there, either they can push it out through Pixie, or they can just, you know, have the instructor push the certain key on there, and it'll just pull back in that image.
For a little bit, but a little bit's better than, you know, all day or a week or having some poor IT support guy come in with a portable hard drive and have to go through it. So having that automation set up is worth its weight.
Yep. But I can imagine just like pretty much anything day and now in this time frame, the key point to any IT or any area that you can never buy enough storage.
The good thing is that for the time being, storage is cheap, and if there's something that I'm going to spend money on and get a huge result from, I'm okay with storage. But if I'm bringing images down to machines at the speed of the network, then I lose some of the benefit of the cloud. So it's you're actually spending money on physical hardware, which is a little more uncomfortable. Again, worth its weight when you need it.
The biggest thing that I'm developing right now is, and not developing, pretty much put into place through the a virtual disaster program where the VMs are running and there's a standby VM running in the cloud, so that way if the VM in the cloud detects that it does not detect the heartbeat, it immediately spins up. But during that time frame when it's in a warm state, it will spin itself up and pull in the updates, anything that's that it's mirrored with, and then it will just power, you know, just go back into the standby mode until it, you know, truly does not detect the heartbeat of that device that it's, you know, set to be a disaster recovery for. And pretty much the users may, if it does go down, they may notice less than a minute a change over time.
Lost the repeater just now. I heard getting a backup and being a disaster recovery for the device that's got the heartbeat with, and that kind of, either you or I lost the repeater, but I think I get the basic idea. So is that a one-for-one backup to the cloud, or is that you've got multiple images that are able to be spun up on VMs as needed, depending?
Yeah, I probably talked too long. What it amounts to is, like I said, the server, it'll have a server in the cloud that mirrors it, that's running on site, and if that one in the cloud does not detect the heartbeat, then it spins itself up, and you could have your file server that way, you can have your Exchange server, your pretty much any server that's running in the cloud like that.
Lose power or lose some major part of the network, then at least you've got functional equipment somewhere that can act as the center of the world, so people can wander back to the house or to a coffee shop or something and take care of business.
Yep, that's why another good thing to always have is a good standby battery system where your UPS will keep the system up just long enough and then power to the true generator kicks in, and a backup, you know, pretty much a backup internet connection into the system where that's always on.
That engineering that you've done happened since Helene, or something that happened before Helene and you got a chance to test it?
It's happened before Helene. That way, you know, I'm always running a test, and that way, a good thing to do is I have a couple of files out there that are just like regular notepad documents and just, you know, random Word documents that really doesn't have anything to, you know, do with the user data, but I can delete it and then see how my restore does, and I will definitely test that probably about once or twice a month to make sure that the backup, you know, system is working the way it should.
I was just curious if you actually had an opportunity to test in real time with the big storm we had a year ago, whether all of that worked as intended, because that's always the ultimate test.
Yep. Even before the major storms like that, I've always done a test like that to where I know for a fact it works in real time without a disaster coming up, so that way, if one does occur, then you know that it's going to work. You're going to have a better chance of it working than going, oh, guess what? Now we do have a disaster, and I can't restore anything.
Good process going there. It's rare you find an IT shop with that much discipline, so I applaud you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, because yeah, it was probably the last month, but had a user contact me and they needed a restore done, and it was from when I finally asked the question and got to it, the information, it was the file from 7 years ago, and they had no idea what the name of it was. So I just told them very nicely, I said, I can't begin to help you. 7 years ago, you know, I can probably look that far back, but I at least need some kind of file name to begin with.
Well, you know, it's the thing with the thing. It's the thing. Just go find the thing.
Sure, I'll go find a needle in a stack of needles. Sure.
See, that's not the first time I've heard of that scenario where the user has no idea. They know they need it, but they have no idea what it was called or where it was stored or anything else about it. So if you would just be kind enough to solve my problems for me when I don't have any idea myself.
Definitely being nice to that person when just trying to repeat what they were asking me. I said, do you realize you're asking me to restore a file that you have no name, had no idea what the name of it is from 7 years ago? And it didn't sink in that it's like, well, can you at least tell me the parent folder? And worst kind of worst, I can restore it to a separate location and you can kind of peruse those. But no, so I just said, you know, I mentioned to them very nicely that this is not even feasible to be handled.
Restore the entire server and then just set them looking. I mean, that's the easy way, right?
Yep, and then you have to have a big enough repository to be able to put that whole server back. You know, that's why I definitely mentioned that either pick a folder within that and then just restore that to a separate location. I've had users, you know, mention before when they wanted something restored like that, they're going, oh yeah, just restore it to this point in time. I said, you realize if I restore it from this time frame, anything that you did, you know, last, you know, from today will be gone, because you want me to restore it from 5 o'clock last night to the previous day. So anything that you've done now or anybody else has done now is gone. Well, no, don't do that. It's a good answer.
ones that you appreciate when you explain what they're asking for and they understand that, well, maybe that would be a problem. So try and be as helpful as you can without actually breaking things and making it worse.
That is definitely true. It's KO4PXB for ID, and you probably heard it just like, you know, anyone else in IT, that a lot of times you got to deal with that picnic problem. So that's always fun to handle, you know, very tactfully.
That's why it's so hard to be in IT and not have a good personality and a great sense of humor, because they will absolutely exhaust you if you don't get them smiling and point out the flaw in their logic.
Do you know what the acronym for the picnic problem is?
I'm familiar with ID10T and some of the others, but that one doesn't ring familiar to me.
Problem in chair, not in computer. Yeah, the acronym for that is the problem is in the chair, not in the computer.
WHM, did I lose you?
Maybe, but the acronym for the picnic is the problem is in chair, not in computer. Or PXB, I must have spun the dial a bit. The picnic is problem in chair, not in computer.
I thought I had completely lost the repeater there for a second, so I'm glad that. But, yeah, I appreciate that explanation. That's definitely one I haven't heard, but it's clearly apt for a lot of folks.
I'm now in the driveway. I'll say 73 to another time. It's KO4PXB.
Yes, sir. It was good. Good QSO. Thanks for the conversation. This is KQ4WHN. My name is Mark. I'll talk to you next time. 73, sir.
WHN, W4SBX.
4SBX. Brad, how are you today, sir?
I'm all right, I guess. I had to leave work early today because I hurt my back last night at home, not at work. And, trying to recover so I can go to work tomorrow, but I didn't want to interrupt you and him, but I think I've talked to him before. He lives not too far from me, I think. But anyway, it was interesting listening to you guys. How you been doing?
I'm staying busy. I got all sorts of responsibilities with adult children and elderly parents, so, you know, to stay atop the cresting wave.
It's been difficult with me with my mom, but, you know, I love her, and it's just a labor of love, but between that and trying to get my stuff done, it's been a little cumbersome, but it'll be all right.
Yeah, you just got to pick priorities and then figure out how you're going to get them done in what order and work your way out from there, but somehow the sun continues to rise.
Hey, are you planning to go to that? Dude, I can't even think of it. That emergency preparedness meeting.
I keep thinking about it. My my wife keeps vacillating between going to see my daughter or have my daughter come to see us. And I think they're going to figure that out here in the next day or so. So if they have a slot open and I have an empty house, I may run down there. But still undetermined for me.
Yeah, Roger. I was trying to let the repeater stop, but yeah, I think me and Ben, KO4ZW, are going to go together, but it'd be cool to see you there too, but you know, of course, your family takes priority. I don't know, sounds pretty interesting. What about the Mestastic class that's coming up, I think, in October?
Yeah, that'll be at the club meeting at the Red Cross there. Was it the first Monday in October? A guy named Dan is trying to organize the upstate Meshtastic, like the SC MeshNet kind of thing, like they do in North Carolina. So hopefully you get some people excited about it and start setting things up.
Well, I put in for that the day after that off because I'll be up late. I might not want to go to work next day. That's a long story, too long story. But, yeah, I plan on going to that. That might be another chance we can catch up. But I understand you're busy. I will get on the side and talk to you sometime.
Well, yes, sir. I hope your back feels better. You need to do that at work so you get paid for it instead of doing it at the house. But that stinks. I know that back problems are the worst problems.
You know, what's weird is I was just in the bathroom and got a shower, and I went to pick over a towel. I never even picked it up, and that just leaning over just that little bit, it just like, probably just a pulled muscle or something, but I'm telling you, well, I worked about 4.5 hours a day, and I had to get to my boss man on the intercom and say, look, I need to go home. I bought Blue Emu, heat pack, or them, you know, icy hot patches is what we call them, and ibuprofen, and I'm feeling a little bit better now, but I don't know. I'm so medicated, I ain't sure how I'm going to feel in the morning.
I had a recurring issue with a back that came from grabbing laser jet printers. We were delivering a big stack of laser jet printers to this South Carolina Board of Education in Columbia, and my pickup truck was just the perfect size, and I had probably 18 of those things, and I snatched one out of the bed of the truck, and I have felt it about every 3 years since that day, probably in the late 80s, so I hate back pain, and I'm glad when I don't have it.
I tell you what, I was trying to suffer it out today, but my job's real physical. I'm pulling pallets up off the ground, stacking them, and throwing boxes all day. And I got down one time, and I didn't know how I was going to get up. Finally got up, but after about 4.5 hours, I said, man, I'm either going to hurt it worse, but maybe it'll feel better tomorrow.
Well, get a good night's rest, take a hot bath, and make sure you stay on top of the ibuprofen.
Roger that, my friend. Well, it's good talking to you, Mark. I'm going to get on the side. I'm going to take my sleep meds here in about an hour and a half, and then I probably won't be on the net tonight. But it's really good catching up with you. I haven't talked to you much in a while, but 73 to you, and I hope you have a blessed night.
Yes, sir. You rest easy. If you want, I can call in for your call sign if you want to be registered on the net in your behalf. So take it easy. Rest well. Hopefully it'll feel better in the morning. Tell your mom I said, hey, this is KQ4 WHN.
Roger that. I've got the Brawler's pre-net check-in. I can do that. It's only, I don't think the Anderson Radio Club has that option, do they?
Not that I've been introduced to, no.
That's what I thought, but I'll check in, pre-net check in with Brawler, but if I'm still awake, I'll try to check in with the Anderson Radio Club. But I'll be clear on your final, Mark. It's great talking to you.
Yes, sir, Brad. You have a good rest of life. We'll talk to you later. KQ4 WHN, all clear on your final.
Like I said, 73s, and you have a great night, and we'll talk later sometime.